Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast from WNYC, made on Varick Street.
Guys out hunting and girls doing likewise, honking at the honey in front of you with the light eyes. She turned around to see what you beeping at. It's like the summer's a natural aphrodisiac. And with a pen and pad, I compose this rhyme to hip you and to get you equipped for the summertime.
We've been talking a lot about summer jams on Soundcheck lately. Tis the season, after all. But it's time for us to get analytical looking at these sun-soaked tunes. Our friend Elliot Van Buskirk has been crunching 50 years of data generated by summer jams, and he's here to present some perhaps startling conclusions. Elliot is a data storyteller for Spotify, which recently acquired the Echo Nest, where Elliot has been working. And he joins us here in the Soundcheck studio. Welcome back.
Thanks, John.
So how are you defining a summer jam?
Well, there's just something about the summer. I mean, we don't seem to see winter jams. There's something about the summer. I don't know if it's more people outside, the barbecues, the car windows are open, the house windows are open. Somehow, we cross-pollinate this understanding of that we need to gather around one or maybe two or three songs, but
right.
Usually one.
So it becomes a kind of an emblem of that summer.
It is. It's the zeitgeist. It's the one you hear everywhere.
Right.
And then it's the one that when you're thinking back to the summer, this is the song that's going to trigger those memories.
And you start with the summer of 62. Why?
It's tough to say. There was no Spotify back then. So we're using Billboard sales data going back to the 60s.
All right, but there's data for that.
There
is. So that you have to go where the data is.
That's right.
So we're talking about Billboard and then for the more recent years, Spotify. Now, Billboard, I understand because that's sales and airplay and then later downloads. It's, you know, hard figures, numbers. What does Spotify measure?
Well, these are streams. So the number of times that people have played these things on demand. It's not quite the same as buying a download, but since so much listening happens in a streaming context, it's something that a lot of people are looking at more.
Okay. So putting this all together, you have come up with a way of analyzing half a century of our summer jams. And some of these are going to be really easy for people to understand, and perhaps the most straightforward, the shortest and the longest. Let's hear the shortest.
Round, round, get around, I get around, yeah, get around, round, round, I get around, I get around.
And this was the longest of the summer jams.
Why do we scream at each other? This is what it sounds like when the doves cry.
Okay, so that's pretty easy to understand. 1964, the Beach Boys, I Get Around, just over 2 minutes long.
Yeah, it didn't take them long to make that statement at all.
And 20 years later in 1984, Prince with When Doves Cry, which clocked in at just under 6 minutes.
Yeah, that is a luxurious length for a pop song on the radio by any standards. We have noticed summer jams getting a little longer this year, but nothing like 6 minutes.
And I think probably, I don't know if Donna Summer's I Feel Love qualified as a summer jam. I mean, that was certainly everywhere back in whatever that was, 78, 79, but that's a long song, too.
It did, a contender for sure.
Okay, so as I say, that's easy. That's an easy bit of analysis. You just look at how long or short the songs are. But one of the things that you've measured, Elliot, is acousticness. What do we mean by that?
It's intriguing that a computer can tell us that. So at the Echo Nest.
So wait a minute. This is all coming from a computer? I thought you were doing this.
Well, I'm telling the computer what to do.
Right.
And other smarter people than I told those computers how to answer me. You can, by looking at the timbre of the instruments, that's something that can actually be understood by machine listening. So
a machine can tell when you are trying to slip a little synthesized piano past it.
Exactly.
Really?
So there, you know, we have a lot of ways to understand music. A lot of them incorporate human hearing and, you know, people's opinion about music. This one particular technique is just machine listening, which is why it's kind of impressive that it can understand something like acousticness.
So what we're looking at in this pairing of songs are the least acoustic, in other words, the most artificial sounding? Is that...
That's a fair way to put
it. Okay.
All
right. So the least acoustic summer jam since 1962.
You're unbelievable.
Wow.
been the most acoustic summer jam since 1962.
Everybody's doing a brand new dance now.
All right, that's Little Eva, and that's going back, Elliot, all the way to the start of your study, 1962, The Locomotion. The most acoustic, the least acoustic was that EMF track from 1991 called Unbelievable. So it's not about guy with acoustic guitar. It's
right.
The Little Eva is full of horns. I mean, it's a big sound.
It's a great sound and very acoustic. There, you know, again, it's not a folk singer and an acoustic guitar style acoustic, but saxophones, live drums, you know, great vocal harmonies, multi-layered, all very, you know, non-electronic sounding.
Whereas the EMF thing, I mean, there's a voice there.
Yeah.
But underneath it is all there are no quote unquote real instruments.
It's true. There's synthesized everything. There's a drum loop. I mean, I happen to like that song, but it is artificial, and our machine can tell.
All right, Elliot Van Buskirk is a data storyteller for the Echo Nest, a digital music firm recently acquired by Spotify, and he's giving us his data-driven analysis of summer jams since 1962. Some of them pretty easy to understand, short versus long. Acousticness might be a little more abstract. And now we come to danceability. And here, Elliot, I may start calling shenanigans on you and your machine. How do you possibly measure danceability?
We have a large black box full of trained hamsters who do a hamster dance at various intensity. No, it's a lot of things. We have an attribute called bounciness that's sort of behind the scenes, and that plays into danceability. There's the meter. There's how strong the beat is. There's syncopation. Again, the data scientists who code the intelligence that I have been querying are just leaps and bounds ahead of me.
They have programmed this computer to listen to music for these quality. For there is a bounceability factor that is written into the algorithm.
There absolutely is. There's a danceability rating between 0 and 1. It goes out many decimal points, and it's remarkably accurate if you look at our results.
Okay, let's look at your results. The least danceable of the past 50 years worth of summer jams is this one.
I had a vision of love, and it was all that you feel. To me, I had a vision of love, and it was all that you've given me.
And the most danceable, there must have been a lot of competition for this title, but here's what the computer came up with. So Nelly's Hot in Here. Most danceable summer jam of the past 50-odd years.
Yeah, I actually had to struggle to stay in my chair there. It is so danceable.
It's a pretty irresistible rhythm there. Whereas the Mariah Carey song, Vision of Love, her debut from 1990, that isn't even in a straight 4-4, which is another thing that you've analyzed these songs for. Most summer jams are in a straight, you know, 4-on-the-floor kind of. Vision of Love is in a kind of triple mean is probably a 6-8.
Yeah.
So in terms of rhythm, what's the percentage that is in what they call common time, 4-4?
Almost all of them. Almost all of them are in common time. I mean, maybe it is easier for more people to dance to. You don't see a lot of people trying to do a formal waltz at a barbecue. Maybe that'd be a good theme for a barbecue. Play only waltzes. We uncovered only, 4 waltzes. That were summer jams since 1962, and that was one of them.
One of the other things about these summer jams, and again, this probably, you know, you would sort of know this intuitively, they tend to be in a major key.
They do. This year, our predictions are a little more minor, but by far, since 1962, the summer jam has been in a major key. Major key is associated with happiness. If the summer had a sound, I would wager it's in a major key. Maybe winter is minor. Maybe it's diminished something.
Yeah.
In terms of modes, major is the most common thing. And actually, C major by far The top key. So maybe it's the fact that there are no sharps and flats on a piano.
All right. So as long as you've mentioned happy versus sad, you know, which is the major versus minor thing, that is another thing that the computer has measured. And actually, in an email to our executive producer, Joel Meyer, you wrote that in your predictions for this summer's jam, you're predicting not quite as happy sounding as previous year's jams, 14% less happy sounding, to be exact. How can you be that exact?
Well, I'm having a little fun with the data there, but there is a number for the happiness rating, and it is, on average, for this year, 14% down. maybe we can tie this to the stock market or the futures or something.
By crunching the data, you can come up with a saddest summer jam and a happiest summer jam.
Indeed, we did.
And the happiest one is this. Venga Boys, we like to party. Even if you never turned on the radio, that was everywhere on TV commercials, etc.
This is how they get you with the summer jam.
But the saddest summer jam is this one from the band Heart. Heart's Alone, a summer jam, but also a power ballad, Elliot.
It's an outlier.
Yeah, in a couple of ways, it seems, because it not only comes up as your saddest summer jam, but also, and perhaps not surprisingly, the slowest summer jam.
I don't know what it was that was going on that summer with us collectively, but that's...
1987.
87. What else was happening?
Towards the end of the Reagan years.
Yes, maybe sort of a hangover feeling there.
On the other hand, and again, I would assume there were lots of competitors for this title, the fastest summer jam, that title actually goes to this band. So Jimmy Eat World, The Middle. Elliot, that doesn't feel particularly fast to me compared to some other songs that, you know, we've been talking about. How is fast measured here? Is it beats per minute?
It is. We came up with 162 beats per minute for this one.
Really?
Which is top of the list. Yeah.
Wow. Now, that's a number you can't argue with. I mean, it's just they're just counting the beats.
That's right. And, it's actually 162.305 beats per minute.
All right.
Yeah.
So you've got this supercomputer that's being fed all these algorithms and is listening to music not just for its speed and its length, but for factors that we would think would be subjective, kind of human factors. Is this computer surrounded by technicians in lab coats in some secret location in Sweden or something?
Something like that. You know, to be fair, this is part of the equation. So we don't just trust the computer to answer all the questions. But I think it helps when you're dealing, you know, we've got something like over 20 million songs that people have access to typically now. And you need as many ways to understand that as you can. And what we've found is, and I think a lot of people, this seems to be like the new idea in music, is if you have the algorithmic stuff and the human stuff together, it's like a checks and balances situation. That's what powers your recommendations.
So an aspiring songwriter at home listening to this can't just say, okay, got to make my song fast. It's got to be bouncy. It's got to be between 2 and 6 minutes. I need the, you know, acoustic and the artificial, and I'll be set, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
No. People ask that question a lot. How do I write a hit? What do I exactly do? And it's actually something that's more usefully studied after the fact.
All right. So your predictions, after studying 50 years of summer jams from the past, what's your prediction for this summer?
Well, we've got this track by Rita Ora. I Will Never Let You Down, which sounds positive. Okay, it's a good sign so far. Out of our, you know, the songs we're looking at that are heating up on Spotify look like possible summer jams based on, you know, there's 40 million people using this every month now. This is what we've found. Rita Ora, I Will Never Let You Down is one of our picks. I like it because it scores the happiest of all.
Okay, so this, on the happiness quotient, it gets the highest rating.
It does.
Tell me, baby.
Watch for this in the summer of 2014. Rita Ora's I Will Never Let You Down, Elliot Van Buskirk, data storyteller for the Echo Nest, and Spotify has been with us here in the Soundcheck studio. Happy summer, Elliot.
Thanks so much, Sean.
I know exactly how it feels when you say you've had enough and you might just give it up. What you're dreaming of.
That does it for this podcast, but make sure to check out our archives of live performances, in-studio videos, exclusive music previews, and much more at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. See you next time.